As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
There's been one demand, and that's holding up that Lombardi trophy, period. That's all I care about, is holding that trophy up and holding that trophy up here.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. The presenting sponsor for today's episode of State of the Nation is Visa, a network working for everyone. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined as always by Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen. And in a results-oriented business, the Raiders did not get the results that they wanted on Sunday. A 17-15 loss to the Washington football team, a game in which their offense really never came alive. They did take a lead with 2:22 to go and then watch Washington be able to march down and kick the game-winning field goal. It's a loss that drops them to 6-6, and in an AFC conference in which 13 of the 16 teams have at least 6 wins, it's really, really starting to get difficult to pretend that the Raiders are in the playoff picture or that they have a good logical chance to actually make it. So a real deflating loss for the Raiders.
Yeah, it was a very Raiders loss, which I think is kind of what led to Josh Jacobs' pregame speech there. You know, they just have a tendency when they get into these games where they're favored against a team that, you know, they probably should be. Not to say that Washington was a bad team. Obviously, they came into this game already on a three-game streak, beat some good teams, have been trending up. But the Raiders were favored in this one. This is a game at home that you got to win if you're serious about making the playoffs. And it seemed like he tried to, you know, avoid that with his little speech that he had. And it pretty much, you know, still happened. It just came out flat, which has been a thing all year, really, regardless of what kind of team that they're playing against. But you just would think, especially coming off of that big win against the Cowboys, it kind of looked like they maybe, you know, might have flipped that switch, particularly offensively. And then it just kind of went back to right where it was before. It kind of fit right in with that three-game losing streak. The offense really struggles. The defense keeps them in it for a bit, but it's not able to, you know, they aren't able to put up enough points to end up getting the job done. And so, you know, it just kind of feels like this is an average team, you know, and average teams kind of fluctuate from week to week, and this was a down week for them.
Yeah, they've had their chances. I mean, they've lost now at 3 in a row at home. Like, they've scored a total of 42 points in those 3 losses. So when you look back at the season when it's over and they don't make the playoffs, I think those 3 games are going to be what really stands out as far as their loss opportunities. As bad as they played, to be able to take the lead late just shows you how bad a loss this is, if that makes sense. I just think that, I mean, they had so many missed opportunities, so many bad throws, missed throws. I just think the O-line was pretty bad the first half. I just think the offense really let the defense down today. And I think this will be the one where they can't bounce back from this one. I think this will be the last straw as far as their postseason chances go.
I think it's just the same story that we've seen before, where the offensive line does not play well in the first half, and they try to tire these guys out with short passes and that kind of deal. And in the second half, when the pass rush tires out, they start moving the ball. But they didn't have Darren Waller to make plays, you know, here and there, and, you know, turn some of those shorter routes into bigger plays. So you know, I thought the defense was pretty, played really well today, and the offense just couldn't sustain drives early on, and they were still getting stops. But I mean, I think you guys were at the game, so you saw those missed opportunities. I think some people were talking about, you know, DeSean Jackson being open a couple of times and Carr just didn't hit them. But I just think it's the same game plan that they've had since the beginning of the season. Try to tire guys out with short passes. And if you look at all the numbers at the end of the game, Derek Carr's aggression and, you know, percentages of throws at certain distances of the field, they're pretty much the same as they were all season. So this has just been the game plan for the Raiders, but they just didn't have enough big plays in the second half to kind of overcome those slow starts like they did in the beginning of the season.
I would say early on, it did seem like they came out with an intentional kind of game plan for those short dump off passes, especially on the first drive. All five passes were kind of added behind the line of scrimmage, kind of into the flats. And it'd be like plays where, I mean, as soon as, you know, it's like quick game stuff, like you were saying, like they're kind of substituting that for the run game where like immediately snap and I'm just throwing it to the flat, not even like looking downfield to really see what's going on down there. And, you know, it kind of seemed like they were concerned about Washington's front and their ability to prevent them from pushing the back and pass protection, which obviously ended up being true in this game. And so it kind of seemed like they kind of psyched themselves out of it. They're like, we're not going to have time to throw deep, so let's just go to this quick game stuff, very short stuff, dump off, so we don't have to protect for that long. And I feel like you're kind of defeating yourself from the start of the game when you kind of go into it that way. And I was surprised to see it coming off of that Cowboys game because, you know, they started off really with the opposite, you know, pushing it downfield, obviously hitting that big DeSean Jackson touchdown. I know he was hurting this game. He was nursing that calf injury that he hurt earlier in the week, and so he was a little bit more limited than usual, so he didn't play, you know, as many snaps as he did against the Cowboys. But even still, just from the jump there, their mentality and their mindset in terms of an offensive play calling standpoint just seemed very conservative and safe. And, you know, they're at their best this season when they're aggressive and they push the ball deep. Like, you know, Carr's, you know, his air yards per attempt for the game, it looks, I think, better than it is. Going into the fourth quarter, I think he was around like 5 air yards per attempt, and then it jumped up because he was just taking all those deep shots in the fourth quarter, kind of those desperation shots. And so the key is for them is coming out with that aggressive mindset. That doesn't mean it's always going to work. I mean, we saw that against, you know, in week one, for example, against the Ravens, they came out really aggressive and like Carr was inaccurate and everybody was losing their minds because, you know, Waller was getting all those targets and it wasn't working, but eventually it did start working. And so whether it's working or not, I mean, what do you have to lose at this point? You might as well come in aggressive. When you come in kind of safe and conservative, you're kind of making it easy on the defense to continue.
Yeah, you look at that first half and DeSean Jackson, 0 targets. Foster Moreau, 0 targets. I mean, he's a guy that you can target on some of the, you know, shorter underneath throws, and they weren't targeting him. And we've seen he's a guy that, I mean, obviously he's the backup. He's only replacing Waller. But last time that Waller was out, he had a 6 catch, 60-yard touchdown, had a nice game for them. That was half of his production of the season coming in, was that game he started, and they didn't target either of those guys in the first half.
They psyched themselves out because they respected this pass rush so much that they just wanted to go that short passing game right away. But, you know, why not be aggressive, and then if it doesn't work, then go to this short passing game instead of just coming into this game just saying, you know, we're gonna go short early on. And, you know, it just kills the whole momentum early on, and it just doesn't get you in that right headspace, I think.
I like the game plan. I like the idea of getting the running backs more involved in the passing game. I thought it worked at times, but obviously they went too far with it. There was one third down play where I think Carr threw behind the line of scrimmage to Jacobs, and that was a bad loss. I just think you have to, I mean, I think Derek once in a while gets a little fixed in on what he's supposed to do and not what he can do. I just think that was the case early on. The O-line, I think that's been the thing with Derek all along, is that that's why he spent so much money in past years for the O-line, because he needs that confidence that he'll have time to make plays. And if he doesn't, he starts to overthink things. I think maybe do things too quickly and not really wait for things to develop down the field. So as bad as all that was, there was still like a handful of plays where, like, it was the Edwards drop. There was a rushed throw to Renfro on third down, and he missed that throw. There was the one to the deep play to Zay Jones. Actually, two of them, the one, the fade in the corner, we threw too far, and the one deep at the end where, really, I mean, it should have been a PI call. I think I'm never one to yell about the officials. The Raider fans do that for me. But I think in that case, if that was the other way around and that was the Raiders cornerback with a handful of the guy's jersey, I guarantee that's a call. So I think that was really a game-deciding non-call. But again, they've made enough mistakes where you can't just blame that one non-call. But I thought that was a pretty bad error by the official.
Yeah, I feel like this loss is pretty damning for a coaching staff, because if you look at now twice this season, coming off of a bye, when the opposing team, the Giants in that case, had played on the Monday night. And then here coming off the so-called mini bye of playing on a Thursday, where, again, Washington coming off of a short week playing on the Monday night. When you have extra time to prepare for a game and the other team is on a short week, I mean, that's those are games you have. I mean, you have to use that extra time. You have to be able to put in that extra preparation. You have to have your team ready. And this team is not ready at the start of games. I think that's damning for the coaching staff. I think that's damning for Derek Carr. I mean, Derek Carr is the leader of this team. He's the captain. He's the guy that makes that offense go. And if he consistently can't get that offense going early in the game, that says a lot about him as a quarterback.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to, because I'm not in the huddle, obviously. Like, I'm not in the headset, so I don't know necessarily what's going on the line scrimmage, whether he's checking into these plays.
We should get you a headset, but, man. We need to get you on the headset.
But I feel like, you know, like the elite quarterbacks, like, you know, the just over time, like the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, the Russell Wilson's, those types, like, those guys, like, if something's consistently not working and they know they can do something that they're really good at, I feel like at some point they're like, hey, yo, like, what are we doing? Like, you know, like, eventually, especially with, you know, like, given it's been such a consistent theme this season, like, their first half, you know, first quarter, first half offense has been so terrible. It's like, you come out doing the thing that's, like, the easiest thing for Washington to defend, and you're not doing a thing that you're best at all. It's just kind of like, I get, you know, because after the game, we kind of asked somebody, he's like, you know, we need to do what the coaches, you know, say we need to do. And, you know, he's not the type of guy where he's going to, you know, really critique the coaches, and he's always going to kind of go with that kind of, you know, team speak kind of language. But, I mean, I just feel like, you know, somebody has to be pushing for there to be some kind of level of adjustment. I'm not necessarily expecting it out of Rich Bisacci. I mean, he's a special teams coach. He hasn't been really used to this. Greg Olsen, I mean, obviously he's kind of rigid in what he wants to do. And so, I mean, somebody has to do it. You would think, you know, Derek Carr, you know, especially going into this extension year with so much is on the line, you know, he says he's tired of losing and the same thing happening over and over again. Like, it just seems like they're kind of just cool with maintaining the status quo and riding the season out, doing the same thing they've been doing all year.
Clearly, they've kind of shown us they need a healthy, available, deep threat for the offense to work. When Ruggs was out, it didn't work. When Deshaun Jackson wasn't ready, it didn't work. When he played unhealthy, it worked again. But this week, he wasn't 100%. They said it was like, you know, didn't practice all week. It definitely was a factor. So maybe him not being 100% is why the offense can't do it, which is not, that's not a good thing. I mean, if you're relying on one position, otherwise the whole thing breaks down. That's not a good sign. I think that's clearly been shown in the last month or two that without a deep threat, this offense falls apart and they really don't have any answers. The run game can't bail them out. The O-line can't bail them out. So I think losses to very average. I mean, I think Washington's a very mediocre team. I know Taylor Heineke, people think he showed me up today. I don't think he played that well at all. So I just think the Raiders need to score 18 points today. They score 18 points, they win, and they couldn't do it. So that's pretty bad.
I mean, there's just a lot of holes on this offense, if you think about it. I mean, they can't run the ball. Protection is really shoddy early in games. Darren Waller is, you know, a huge piece, and he was missing. And then, you know, that speed component that's been proven to be so important was hobbled on one calf today. And they just don't have a ton of room, a margin for error. And when guys get hurt and are injured and, you know, they miss their opportunities, they just don't have a ton of playmakers to kind of make up for it.
Yeah, but I think even today, like with Deshaun being limited, like you were saying, you know, he had a couple plays where it seemed like he was flashing open deep and he was available, and they just, it's like they weren't even looking for it, just because that was just, they were so locked into this game plan of like, we're trying to beat them horizontally. Like, you know, you're saying they're going to tire them out eventually as the game goes on, you know, it'll start working. And it's like, this team just has a real issue when it comes to adjusting on the fly. It feels like, you know, maybe that wasn't as much of an issue under Gruden. I feel like that was still, you know, one of the criticisms under his tenure, but kind of ever since, you know, Bisacci came over, it's kind of like whatever they start the game doing, that's what they're going to finish the game doing. Like, there's not a bunch of changes in between until it just gets down to like absolutely desperation mode, and we just, you know, just going for it when they're trying to make these big comebacks or you know, at the end of the game in the fourth quarter. Really not sure why that is, because it's like obviously they all recognize these issues. They know way more about football than we do, and so I just don't get why you wouldn't try something new, even if it does, because it doesn't guarantee that it's going to work. You know, whether it's being more aggressive on fourth downs or airing it out more, we're not saying that automatically guarantees that you're going to be more successful. But you might as well mix it up if what you're doing is not working, and they just have a tendency to not do that at all.
But they like their process, man. The process is good. I mean, Rich Bisaccia, since he's taken over, he's talked several times about how he's more concerned about the process than the results. It's always kind of like, every time he says it, you kind of just roll your eyes and like, dude, like, this is the Raiders. Isn't that the slogan? Just win, baby. Do you guys hear the intro to our podcast? You can't be a success in professional football if you don't win. This idea that, and that he keeps kind of coming back to this line, and he said it again post-game on Sunday, you know, says if you're results-oriented all the time, then you're just looking at the scoreboard and spending your life up there. There's a process to what we try to do. There's a process to improving every day. Nobody that watches the game cares about the process. They just care about if you win. And for an organization that hasn't been winning, when Mark Davis makes a decision on Rich Bisaccia's future, that's not a quote that's going to go over very well.
No, I do think Mark cares about the results. I think definitely. Rich's whole thing, last week against the Cowboys after the game, it sounded good. Like, you know what, we lost three in a row, but I was worried about the effort. Today we were rewarded. I'm like, yeah, man, that sounds great. Today, it didn't sound so good. Today, I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? I just think, I get it. He's trying, at this point, he's grasping for something. Like, hopefully that this team can somehow still bounce back. But you lose three games at home in a row. Teams are not that great. The Chiefs, obviously, are the exception. But I was wrong. I thought this game was right there for him. And it really was. Like, 18 points, and it's a whole different story. They can't score 18 points. But, yeah, Rich, you got to stop saying that about the scoreboard and the process, and if you care about that kind of stuff. Because that's what fans care about. That's what Mark Davis cares about. I mean, he spends a lot of money on
players.
That's
what the players care about. The players care about wins and losses. I mean, Hunter Renfrow after the game says, I don't catch 10, have 10 yards and have four fumbles. If we win, that's all I care about.
Right, exactly. I just think Rich is trying to latch on to something where he, you know, these players think they're still in it. They still have, there'll be a reward for the effort at some point, but I'm not sure he'll be around to see it when it finally happens.
Yeah, I feel like that line is more of like a college football, like, program building line, you know what I mean? Like, you're gradually building a program up. It's like, it's more about the process, you know, we'll get there. Like, when you're, like, in a deep rebuild, like, if the Lions say that, it's like, okay, well, that's what else are you going to say? But it's like, they're not, this is, you know, I know Gruden's gone, but it's like year four of a plan. Like, this is supposed to be, like, last year is supposed to be the playoff year. And this year, of course, obviously, is playoff or bust, so. What do you mean? You know, that's the whole point of this. That's your team that's going for it right now. You're not trying, you know, in the year one or year two of a rebuild. So it's just the messaging doesn't really, you know, fit. I'm not saying that, like, if you lose, you can say, oh, you know, I don't care about these guys. Like, obviously, you know, on a human element, you know, you're still going to support your players, whatever the outcome may be. But that's still the, you know, objective at the end of the day.
You know, on a positive note, I mean, I thought the defense played really well today. I mean, you know, they had to overcome a lot of short possessions by the offense in the first half, some really questionable penalties. I don't know how many three and outs they had, but, you know, they had a ton of stops, and they just kept them in this game. So I thought they, and, you know, Malcolm Kuntz got his first sack of his career. Khalil Mack, I like to call him. He got him with a long arm, just like Khalil Mack. Not comparing them, but they both came from Buffalo. So, but also, you know, they overcame the linebacker injuries too. You know, with Denzel Perryman getting hurt and Littleton being hurt. So I just, you know, hats off to Gus Bradley and that defense. They showed up again.
And if only Trayvon Merrick had been able to pull in that interception. Ugh, that
was a game.
Play he's got to make. That's the play he's got to make.
And he had on the opening drive on the Logan Thomas, the one-handed catch he had in the back of the end zone, the reason why he was so wide open. At least it looked like, again, I don't know that necessarily the communication, but it looked like Perryman was telling Morig, you know, he was behind him, to, like, go over to that side of the field, and instead Morig, like, went to the other side, and so that's why Logan was left wide open. So he was kind of struggling a little bit early, maybe settled in midway through the game, and then obviously at the end, you know, made a pretty crucial mistake there. But you know, he's a rookie. Those things kind of happen. But, you know, that's probably like the long blemish on the defense's day. You really can't pin this one on them.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'll say this. The defense played well, but they had the lead. I mean, with two minutes to go. And all they had to do was stop Washington. And Washington gave me a lot of yards and short passes. But, I mean, the game was there to be won by the defense. They couldn't do it. So, again, I wasn't. Taylor Heineke's better than I thought it was, apparently. But I mean,
I tell you, man, Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's some Ryan Fitzpatrick shit right there. You know, go down and get in the field goal range at the last second. Hey, man.
I caught 17 points at the end of the day. You got to win the game.
Hey, you made plays, man.
Yeah, you gotta make a stand at the end of the game. But again, the defense played well. I'm just saying they were ahead. The defense, all they wanted is a chance with the lead and a chance to protect the game at the end. They had that and they couldn't do it. So I'm not going to give the defense too many roses, but they played well. Definitely deserved to win, but they definitely had a chance to also. So team loss.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
In terms of injuries, the Raiders lost Kenyon Drake, their number two running back, and their kind of their other backfield weapon. Broken ankle, and he's not happy about it. He's not happy about the tackle that led to his injury. So, you know, second straight year he suffered a season-ending injury with somebody tackling him like that, kind of pulling down on his shoulder pads as their body weight kind of rolls under his legs and cost him a broken ankle and cost him the rest of his season. And, you know, He tweeted out a video clip of it and you know, upset about kind of how player safety is handled there. He doesn't like that tackle is legal. And it's a tough break for him. It's a tough break for the Raiders because, you know, we have seen them kind of been able to get him involved a little bit more on the offense. And, he can do things for them. He can help them offensively. And now they're going to be without him for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think especially with Josh Jacobs, you know, kind of every week being banged up. I mean, even in this game, he had the ankle injury and saw him multiple times. At least I could see on the press box, he would go to the sideline after a play and get tended to by the trainers. So it was clearly bothering him, even though he played, I thought, pretty solidly in this game. And then Jalen Richard also went on the reserve COVID list before the game. And so kind of thinning that backfield. They haven't been able to run the ball anyway. But, for an offense that's already without so many pieces, which, you know, we need to say coming back to the injury, you know, because I know about 4 weeks ago we were talking about the injuries and somebody on this podcast was not admitting that they had some pretty significant injuries. I think at this point, do they qualify now? I mean, like, man, it's tough NFL. Crowd, man.
It's NFL, man. People get hurt, man.
Cold blood, yeah. Man. Cold.
I mean,
cold.
Yeah, I'm going to do some research this week and I'm going to see where they rank in terms of like.
Have Ted help you with research.
my guess is they're probably middle of the pack. They're probably at league average. They feel like they're a league average team in terms of.
Man, listen, man. They had, even in this game, Kenyon Drake, like Denzel Perriman goes out, like one of their resurgent guys this year. Corey Littleton was like banged up. Nick Wiakowski, like they have no linebackers anymore. Man, no Waller. I think we have to give them some kind of. I think that, you know, obviously it's not why they.
The way I look at it when I start thinking about how injury ravaged a team is I think about starters suffering season-ending injuries. Richie Incognito, but if you were counting on a 38-year-old to be able to.
They were.
Yeah. That's their
Denzel
fault.
Denzel Good.
That's their fault. Denzel Good, I'll give you Denzel Good. But, I mean, he's your right guard. That's supposed to be like. If you rank your offensive line positions 1 through 5, that's like the number 5 position. If you can't replace, if you don't have the depth to fill in an injury at right guard, that's your problem. Like you have a problem there that you haven't built a roster that can withstand an injury at right guard. So, I mean,
I'll give Rich this. I mean, if Gruden was still the coach, he'd mention injuries every freaking day. Like today after the game, be like, well, you know, we lost Alec Ingold like 2 weeks ago. That was a big loss. So, I give Rich that. He's not living and dying with the injuries and using them as excuses, but clearly, again, today was a game I should have won, period. I mean,
I thought Trayvon Mullen was going to play today. Was he not active?
No, he said before he wouldn't. Next week was always the goal. He practiced, but...
He's back in practice, yeah, but he wasn't ready to play yet. Yeah, my Brandon Fasan feature is not doing too well.
Yeah, he's getting picked on a little bit again today as well. Casey Hayward, too. He's playing well, man. That man has started getting these interceptions, man. Even the Nate Hobbs interception, Casey Hayward should have caught that one. I think he had one earlier in the game as well.
If Nate Hobbs doesn't catch that, that ends up looking like another missed opportunity of dropping an interception there. Because, like, you know, I know people were, oh, he assisted. He, like, nah, like, he dropped it. And, like, Hobbs was luckily there to make the play. But the team's in trouble.
You guys see the post-game video of Washington, Jack Del Rio? He was a happy man, man. Jack Del Rio got his comeuppance a little bit. He was happy.
They had a pretty terrible pun on their socials. They called it Las Vegas.
Vegas.
I was like, oh, man. That was bad.
That's terrible.
Like, yeah, they could have kept that one.
Well, what about the next Raiders head coach was in the building there, right? Dabo Swinney.
The connection is official, man. He had the whole Raiders gear on. He had the logos, and like today was like bowl announcement day. He's like, ah, fuck my team.
Yeah, like, what coach isn't with their players when they get announced what bowl is? You got to do a little press conference.
His DC was like leaving for a new head coaching job. Like at that moment, he's like, ah, fuck, I'm gonna hang with Hunter Renfro and my boys over here on the Raiders. Like, that's very strange. Like, I'm still trying to figure out like what. Like, why? Why was he here? What was the... I got the conspiracy theorists on Twitter, man. I have people blowing us up about Dabo Swinney, you know?
I mean, you got to at least consider the possibility, right?
Yeah, I'm sure the thoughts cross Mark's mind. If you're going to blow it up, why not get the, you know, successful college coach who can... has four guys already here, but...
It seems like a long shot for me just because, you know, we know he's got... We don't know what the settlement with Gruden was, but some kind of financial settlement with Gruden. He's just getting off of that contract, essentially, where he's paying a guy $10 million a year and has a settlement. I mean, Dabo, he's making $10 million if he's coming in. He's making at least $10 million, if not more. It feels to me like Mark is probably going to make a hire that is not somebody he's going to have to pay $10 million a year to. But
yeah, I mean, like Dabo, because even with Dabo, like, I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, but like if Brian Kelly is getting $10 million a year and Dabo at Clemson, like he's definitely making more than 10 if he even stays where he's at and he's already successful and he doesn't have to walk into this Raider situation. It's not on the table, I don't think.
I don't know about a CEO type of college coach. Like, he's not a defensive coordinator. He's not an offensive coordinator.
He's not bringing his defensive coordinator with him. We know that. But he's going to turn Cleve Ferrell back into a number four pick, back into a first round pick. They're going to bring him back for his fourth season. They're going to pick up his fifth year. No. Okay. All right, guys. Well, big game next week in Kansas City.
It's a must-win game.
They are 6-6 still.
We
they
said 10
beat
was a number.
The Chiefs.
We
Get
said 10 was
run.
A number. It's still possible.
What's the Chiefs record now?
They won, so they're 8-4.
I guess they are. So they win. The only game back. All right, fine. I mean, big game.
But the Raiders are in last place now in the AFC West. Well, I guess tied with the Broncos. They're both 6-6.
You know, when we count them out, they win the game. When we're back in, they're gonna lose the game. So, you know.
That was my rationale for picking the Raiders to lose. So, yeah, that means I should pick the Raiders to win next week. But we've got a few days to decide on that. I don't think I will be picking them to win. But bad loss for the Raiders. And the home field advantage thing, man. They cannot play at Allegiant Stadium for what I mean, they've had obviously the opener and then the overtime against the Dolphins. They've had some thrilling games there. They've done a little bit better, but I mean, we saw how bad they were at home last season, and now you look at, you know, these bad losses to the Bears, bad loss here to Washington. It's just for fans that are in their shiny new digs, that they're not getting rewarded with great football.
Nope,
they don't have any home field advantage. It's fake. It's 30% other fans anyway. I mean,
how was it today?
It wasn't that bad today. Like, Washington didn't travel extremely well, so it was mostly Raiders fans.
Well, that'll wrap up the post-game edition here of State of the Nation. We'll be back in the middle of the week to get you ready for the Raiders going to Kansas City. See if they can find a way. Hey, you know, we didn't think they had any chance when they went to Dallas on Thanksgiving, and they won that game to revive their season. So maybe they can they can do something in Kansas City to revive their season. They won there last year, so we'll see what they can do, but we'll talk a lot more about that game later this week when we get you ready for the Raiders and the Chiefs.
All right, Joe.
Later.
Adios.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.